Martino. He is a national board certified counselor and addiction counselor, licensed alcohol and drug counselor, licensed professional counselor, and owner of the group private practice Advanced Treatment Solutions of Farmington and Hartford. And I met him and invited him on once a month. He comes by, and I'll tell you something. It is really incredible, this whole opioid crisis, we call it. And the question is, should we mandate individuals to get hospital attention after experiencing an overdose? And this happens all the time. Let's meet Jim Montano. Jim, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad. It's great to be back on
did
the
I
show.
Did I hit that Italian name right?
You did. Moutino.
Moutino.
Like
all
the
right.
cow. Moo. Moutino.
Well, every time that you come in here, you've got a load of information. But I want to hit first, though, on this opioid crisis. And there's a question. Should we mandate individuals to get hospital attention after experiencing an overdose? And first, could you explain what an opioid crisis is and how it affects somebody?
Well, the crisis that's going on right now, we're seeing, you know, significant increases in people overdosing from fentanyl overdoses, heroin overdoses.
Right?
Primarily, that's the biggest thing right now. But there's other drugs too that people sometimes will overdose when they use substances. Oftentimes, they're using other substances in addition to that. So, regarding this, there's actually some legislation that they're looking at right now where there'll be a mandatory 72-hour evaluation of the person after they overdose from whatever drug that they're using. So I think they're looking at it basically primarily because of the opiate crisis, because we're having such high numbers of people that are overdosing. And oftentimes what's happening is they're using Narcan to get revived. So the EMTs are arriving at these places, they're reviving the individuals, and then the individuals can make a decision about whether they want to go into the hospital after. So what there's actually legislation here in Connecticut, there's a representative that is presenting this, where the individual would have to go for 72 hours and be evaluated. So it's a very controversial issue in our field, because we believe in, you know, the person's rights. You know, we want people to have autonomy to make decisions for themselves. So it is a very controversial issue.
But sometimes when they're in that condition, they don't have the ability to make the decision for themselves, I think. I think that would be a tremendous asset for all of you.
And I agree with you. I think we have to start looking at this problem differently. Just like you said, Brad, you're right. And sometimes the individual, oftentimes when they receive Narcan, they feel horrible, because now all the drugs are out of their system, in essence. So a lot of times they start saying, oh, my God, I'm going to be sick. I'm not going to feel well. I need to get out of here. I need to kind of figure out what I'm going to do next.
And they could get back into it.
And then they get right back. Oftentimes they do. I mean, I would say a high percent, majority of the people will get back to using probably within the day. So if the individual goes into the hospital, they get evaluated. The other question is, you know, do they have other issues that are going on mentally? Is there another addiction that's going on? Do they have the right environment at home? If they do get evaluated for 72 hours, you know, a professional can kind of evaluate the person and figure out what's going on with them, which is a good thing.
Now, you must get a good many calls. And how, if you somebody asks you to describe this, what would you say about the opioid crisis? I understand from people that I know that it's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for people to get rid of it. Is that right?
It is. I think one of the biggest problems and one of the issues that we have is that people are not being treated correctly with the treatments that we know that do work. So we know that medication-assisted treatment works best for opiate addiction. There was just a federal report that said that only 20% of people are being treated with medication-assisted treatment. So 80% of people are not being treated with medication-assisted treatment, which is the most effective treatment for opiate addiction. So that means that people are not getting the medications that work to combat opiate addiction, because we know that opiate addiction is a brain disorder. We know that the brain changes, and we know that individuals often need medications to be stable for a period of time. So there's a number of good medications that are out there. You know, Suboxone is a popular medication for it. Methadone is a popular medication for it. And now we have some new ones that are injectable, that are Sublocade, that will actually last 28 days, 30 days.
Really?
In between, yep. So these are new medications that are coming out. There's new stuff that's coming out. They've been proven effective. They work. So now people have options. I think there's also a misnomer in society that this only affects individuals that live in certain areas, or that it's only the poor. There's often individuals that I work with that, they're firemen, they're professionals who get an injury. They get injured. They start taking pain medication, and then they become addicted to the pain medication. And pain medication can get you addicted just like fentanyl can or heroin. So it's an opiate crisis. It's not a heroin crisis. It's not a Percocet crisis. It's opiates as in general. So I think we need to start looking at all the options. And I think doctors need to also start providing more medications if need be. We need to make it easier for people to access services. One thing I did like about this proposal, maybe in the hospitals, and some hospitals are starting to do this here actually in our area. They're starting to put people on medication in the hospital when they report in.
That's when they should do it.
Exactly. So we know that.
It's just like you know, you're going to be a professional baseball pitcher. You go to the big leagues.
That's right.
You don't go to the farm where you used to throw the baseball.
You got to go where the knowledge is, and also when people are most motivated. You know, I think after maybe a day or two of the person feeling stable, they may make better decisions. They may say, you know what, I'm going to get some treatment. So if they can go in there, they get stable, and then they could pass the buck to somebody else, another provider in the area who can take over the person. I think that's where sometimes it gets lost. You know, there's not a good handover. I think programs are starting to become more aware of the importance of that. But also, too, I think going back, what's going to work? I think from a societal standpoint, it's cost-effective to get people on medications and stabilize them. But there's a stigma with it. People feel like if they do this, they're going to be stigmatized. And it's amazing. Even in the recovery community, people that go to AA and NA, they get stigmatized for being on certain medications. People kind of pick on each other because they're on a medication, or they don't consider them clean. And I think that's the travesty, because a lot of people, because AA and NA works for a lot of people. It's a great place for people to get support. So we just got to get the word out. I think your listeners out there just need to keep getting educated about this and how we combat this, and using a holistic approach. Not every approach works for everybody. But we know for a fact, you know, evidence shows that medication-assisted treatment works for opiate disorder.
Jim Mountino, who is my special guest once a month, and this is what we're fighting. There's no question about it, and sometimes we just forget about it, but we can't. Now, of course, I know what some folks are thinking about. I think about it too. Once they get off the opioids, have you seen anybody off opioids that do it entirely?
Sure. I do see it. It takes time, though. It's a process. You know, the brain has to kind of heal itself. The person has to change a lot of lifestyle changes. It's also a behavioral change sometimes, you know, the environment that they're in. Each person's a very individual, so we have to treat each person individually, figuring out what are the triggers for that person.
But you've seen
things.
Some that...
Absolutely. Every day. Every day I see people.
Oh, that's great.
And medication-assisted treatment or medications, therapy, their primary care doctor, employment, all these things are very important to a person's whole wellness and how they feel about themselves. So you need a comprehensive approach. I say this all the time. You need to attack all the areas of the person. You can't just attack one area. You have to work on everything. So it does take time. They say, you know, any issue. It takes about 6 months to kind of get a plan going. If you want to quit smoking, you need to do it for about 6 months before you really know that you have a good plan.
And then you can quit.
Exactly.
Yep.
If you could do it for, if you could do anything for 6 months, usually you might have a good plan going. But yeah, people do recover. This, people can recover. There is hope. Finding the right people to connect with. I think one of the biggest challenges sometimes is people try to do it on their own completely. Look out there. There's lots of books. There's lots of things on the internet. Go on some of the federal sites. SAMHSA.gov is a great resource for people to use.
What is that again?
It's called SAMHSA.gov. It's all federal information from studies, research. There's knowledge about drugs. So if a parent out there is suspecting that their child is abusing drugs, they can go on SAMHSA.gov. There's articles on there about substances, what they look like, what are some of the behaviors maybe the person might be exhibiting. You know, drugs are out there, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that's coming into the country that is new. You know, there's a new drug called Kratom, which is kind of like an opiate medication that's out there. I'm learning about it myself right now. So as these drugs start coming in, there's more and more synthetic drugs that are coming in. K2 is a type of drug that is supposed to mimic marijuana that is very dangerous, and some people are overdosing from it. In New Haven.
Really?
Yeah, in New Haven they had 100 people that overdosed on K2, and I believe some had fentanyl also in it too. So we need to be aware of these substances as parents, as church leaders. We need to kind of be aware of what's going on in our community. But the opiate crisis, I think, you know, at least we're having a conversation about it. I think that's so important. Like, I think it's great that you talk about this topic so much, because I think the community is learning about all these issues and getting the education.
Because I think that's why I do it, and my partner too, Paul. We get together, and that's why I wanted you on here once a month. Because this is, to me, very important, and I believe, I know six fellas, okay?
Yeah.
Six fellas who no more.
Yeah.
No more. And it's amazing. But it's a lot of work. I mean, they've got to really believe, but they need what you just described to my radio audience. You can't have this, and you got. If you're going to do it, you got to do it. I have an expression: if you're going to take the hill, you take the hill.
Yep.
You don't sit around and talk about it. You go take it, and this is what has to happen. And I'm glad that it's happening with what you are doing. I haven't met anybody, Jim, that has got so much. You know that you have studied and everything else, and know how to do this. But I've wanted to do this for a long, long time.
Well, I appreciate it that you do it. I know our community, especially as providers, we appreciate your interest in this, because it needs to be discussed. And a lot of people have not taken this issue on. So
that's because they don't want to discuss it.
Well, we like to hide things, I think, sometimes. But we got to bring it forward.
Well, you got to bring it. There's no question. You got to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
This is and make those that you're helping, let them know, let those people know that you mean business. You're not just fooling around here.
Absolutely, and supporting them. I think we need to support and say, you know, these are good decisions.
Yes,
treatment is a good decision. A lot of times people feel like it's a failure. No, it's not a failure. It's actually a success. You're working on the issue.
What is your is this your telephone number here?
Yep, that's it right there.
Okay, this is the number you call, my friends, if you want more information. 866-887-6864. 866-887-6864. Jim Montino, and he is just perfect for this, and this is what's going on. I mean, I know you don't like to talk about this thing and that thing, but these are things that you can reach out and grab somebody and help somebody.
Absolutely. Well, Brad, it's great to be on the show again. I look forward to seeing you next month, hopefully.
Absolutely. And if you have special things like this opioid is just unbelievable, but things like this, whatever you want to push, let's do that and we'll plan it for next month. But continued success.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You bet. And it's great to have somebody that you can talk with, and that I can talk to my radio audience, and so can Paul, so they know what is going on and the great pluses, because this is dangerous stuff. You don't fool around with these opioids-related overdose deaths, lawmakers. That it's just unbelievable what's going on. So, again, Jim, thanks a million. And the telephone number, 866-887-6864. 866-887-6864. Thank you.